Welcome to Moments with Marianne. This is your host, Marianne Pastana, and I am so excited to be celebrating 10 years of meaningful conversations with you. As we step into our new primetime hour, it's such an honor to share this exciting new chapter with you. So whether you're starting your day out, headed to work, or listening from wherever you are, this hour is designed to bring you thoughtful dialogue, fresh insight, and inspiring stories, so you can make every moment count. So thank you for being here with me today, and let's dive in. We're here today with special guest, Glenn Harold, who's here to share with us his new book, Awaken and Ascend, Raise Your Consciousness and Reclaim Your Personal Power. What if the life you've been searching for begins with changing your level of consciousness? Well, today's guest is here to share with us just that. Glenn Harold is one of the world's most successful hypnotherapists and self-help authors. Over his 28-year career, he has helped thousands of people, including many celebrities, and has sold over 10 million hypnosis and meditation apps, MP3 downloads, and previously CDs. Glenn has created more than 250 hypnosis and meditation titles published through BBC Audiobooks, Orion, and his own company, Divinity Publishing. So welcome to the show, Glenn Harold.
Thank you for having me, Marianne.
Oh my goodness. Well, what an honor it is to have you here and to talk about this book. I mean, you've spent more than three decades helping people transform their lives through hypnotherapy and meditation. Looking back on your journey, what experiences shaped you the most?
So just to give you a little bit of a backstory, I had a very traumatic, challenging upbringing where I was, I ran away from home when I was 12 and, you know, slept on the streets at times, had drink and drug problems. And yeah, it was classic I was a product of my home life. So I kind of lived on the streets in gangs and that kind of thing. And it was only years later that I became, in my late 20s, I became a hypnotherapist. And I started to realize at that time that there were these tools that I could undo a lot of the conditioning from my childhood and break out of the failure programming and the trauma. So I went into hypnotherapy, you know, very much focused on healing myself initially. So I was learning these skills and I started to, you know, systematically clear away these traumas and replace them with, you know, much more positive, adaptive program patterns. And I found that as I did that, my life started to change and I started to become, you know, a little bit more abundant. And, you know, this new world opened up for me. And I just took to it like a duck to water. So yeah, I really learned everything from personal experience and from, you know, austerity and hardship and also learning how to break out of those patterns of behavior that were holding me back. So when I did become a therapist, if I saw a client, if somebody sat in front of me and they had an addiction or a phobia, or they were, you know, very low self-esteem, I knew what it was to be in that situation. So I kind of was a therapist, you know, that could help people from, you know, a real life perspective.
Definitely from lived experiences, from the sound of it. And it's interesting. They say that you can't take people where you haven't been. So going through all those experiences sounds like that's why people gravitate towards you.
Yeah, it really was that. And I kind of also, when I became a hypnotherapist, I also had this spiritual awakening that was completely spontaneous. So at that time, I was driving a minicab around the West End of London. And the one thing I'd learned to do in my teenage life was I learned to play the bass guitar, and I was in a band for a little while. And We had a brief taste of fame and fortune in the 80s in England, but it came and went like Halley's Comet. So later on, I was on the cabaret circuit, and it was one night we shared the bill with the stage hypnotist. And while I was watching him, I saw the power of hypnosis up close. And I knew in that moment, I didn't want to learn it to do the entertainment thing, you know, to make people dance around like chickens and do outrageous things. I wanted to learn it for the healing potential of it. And so that's what I did. And it was at that moment as well, I started to have this spiritual awakening, which kind of went hand in hand with me learning this new skill, the hypnotherapy skill. And I was so grateful for that because my awareness increased and I started to realize that I had this higher consciousness that I could tap into that would, you know, really supercharge the healing work that I was doing. And it completely took my life in a different direction because, you know, before that I'd lived a very unconscious life in drink and drugs and, you know, self-gratification, that kind of thing. And then suddenly I discovered this new world that was just, you know, it felt like heaven because it was so different to what I'd grown up in. And I absolutely loved it. And I just learned as much as I could. I went to see every teacher back in the day. I read every book like Louise Hay and Stuart Wilde and Anthony Robbins, all those guys, you know, the original guys in the sort of self-help world. And I learned so much and my life changed dramatically from, you know, being stuck in this very low vibrational life to suddenly living a life of abundance and endless opportunity. And because I'd been a musician as well, I'd always kept a little recording set up. So back in the 90s, I had the bright idea to start making hypnosis recordings. And this in England, no one was making hypnosis recordings. And this was before it became a massive industry that it is today. So I kind of rocked up into this new industry with this skill set of being, you know, a proficient hypnotherapist by that point, having this spiritual awareness and knowing how to record properly. And I went into making recordings and within a few years, I'd sold like a million. Very, very quickly. And, you know, by getting them in, they were actually cassettes and CDs back then. I put them into all the shops in the UK. I got very lucky, right place at the right time, and sold a million cassettes and CDs very quickly. And that became my career. And so I love that. I love making recordings that were going out, reaching lots of people and helping them to sleep better and to lose weight and stop smoking and feel more relaxed. So very, very lucky, you know, right place. And then I had BBC audiobooks knocked on my door because they were the biggest audiobook publisher. And they offered me a huge deal to buy all my recordings. And then soon after that, I got a book deal with Orion in the UK and McGraw-Hill in the States. And just had this, ended up having this really big platform, big opportunity. And it all happened very organically. I had no marketing skills. It just all opened up. And I loved that. I still love making, you know, hypnosis and meditation recordings that go out there and reach millions of people. It's such a blessing.
Well, what a just an extraordinary life that you've created. And that's what it really is a creation in many ways. Can you share with us what your spiritual awakening was like?
Yeah, sure. It was something that was really spontaneous, really profound. I'd been driving my minicab around the West End of London that night, and it was about 4 a.m. I was driving home, and I'd kind of been seeking, you know, looking for a better life up to that point, but I just didn't know how to find it. And I was asking, you know, this can't be it. This, you know, life that I've lived so far that had been so bleak can't be it. So I was kind of asking, but I didn't have any concept of spirituality at that point or even a higher power. I'd not been religious at all. My family was sort of a very sort of cynical down to earth South London family. So I had no experience of that. But one night I was driving home and I was switched off, driving my cab home. And then suddenly I had this massive awakening. And I still don't fully understand it to this day, but at that moment, I felt my heart opening, my higher consciousness expanding, and I suddenly felt this immense compassion for myself and my younger self and everything I went through. I felt compassion for my, you know, my parents who kind of laid a lot of it on me, but their journey, you know, what they'd been through and the trauma they'd experienced and their lack of consciousness. And I felt this love and compassion. And, you know, it sounds a bit cheesy, but it was, yeah, a spontaneous spiritual awakening. And I went home and, you know, felt this euphoria, this absolute bliss that I'd never felt before. And the next day I woke up and I had this huge thirst for knowledge. I wanted to learn about what I was experiencing because I didn't know, really know what it was at the time. So I went round to the local library and I looked for books on spirituality. And back then, this was like the early 90s in England, and there weren't a lot of options in the library. So I ended up finding this book by a guy called Cliff Richard that kind of was on, it was a spiritual book of sorts. And I read that cover to cover, took away a few nuggets from it. And then just went on this huge journey where I became a spiritual healer. I joined up with this a spiritual healing group in Kent, near where I lived. Started reading all these books by Louise Hay and Stuart Wilde, and you know, a lot of books from American authors, Anthony Robbins, and just had this massive thirst for knowledge and learned so much in the next few years. And it really set me on a completely different path where I had this spiritual knowledge that was informing my decisions. You know, I was now making decisions from a place of consciousness. And, you know, very soon after that, I decided that I didn't like animal suffering in the world. So I became a vegetarian initially and then a vegan. I stopped smoking, stopped drinking, stopped taking drugs, and got really clean, got really fit and healthy. And that was 30 years ago. And I've kind of been on that path ever since. And, you know, and over that time, I've written 8 books and, you know, sold tens of millions of recordings. And I'm a million miles away from that kid who was expelled from school. And I still remember the headmaster told me I was the worst kid he'd had in the school when he kicked me out when I was 15. So, yeah, I'm so lucky life turned out the way it did.
Well, I'm sure he has second thoughts now if he got to share those with you. Because we can never judge a book by its cover. And if kids are acting out, usually there's something else going on.
Yeah, it's always that. You know, kids are always a product of their environment. And I always, you know, when I really got into my career, I always loved helping kids, yeah, especially if they've been troubled, had difficult backgrounds, because I knew what it was to be in their situation. And when they saw me, they kind of knew that I was coming from an authentic place and I could always build trust and rapport with them quickly. So I enjoyed that part of my work. But also, you know, in my books and my recordings, I've been able to, you know, teach people from a place of true understanding where I you know, experienced addictions and phobias and what it is to be flat broke, you know, not knowing how to have positive, harmonious relationships. You know, I always struggled with relationships when I was younger, you know, to a place where I'm, you know, a very happy family man now and giving my kids everything that I never had. So I've been able to, yeah, my books are all about that, you know, and my last book, Awaken and Ascend, is something that I first started writing it about 10 years ago when I'd spent time at a shamanic retreat down in South America. And, you know, that really elevated my spiritual knowledge. So I started writing it then and only finished it last year. I kind of left it for a while and then came back to it. And yeah, I just found that it was something I really enjoyed doing. And, you know, or everything I'd learned over the last 30 years is in the book. And the kind of the first part is about how I got out of the situation I got in, where I was, you know, really struggling to, you know, creating a much more abundant, positive life. And then the second part of the book is very much about, you know, the tips and techniques you can use to, you know, transform your life. Yeah, because I believe there's no limitation on what you can achieve in this life. Anything is possible. And, you know, no matter how bad your start is, you can, you know, break out of any conditioning and live the, you know, authentic, sovereign life that you were born to live.
From your experience, why do you believe most people misunderstand what it truly means to be awakened?
I think we live in a world where, you know, expanding your consciousness and being in your higher power is not encouraged. I think, you know, there's a lot of different reasons for that. I think, you know, an enlightened populace, you know, is harder to control. You know, when you're in your power and you're living a sovereign life, you're in control of your health and your well-being, you're in control of your finances, then, you know, you've got freedom. You've got so much freedom. And we live in a very challenging world these days where, you know, there's a lot of controlling systems that don't want us to thrive and prosper. So I think that's one thing. But I think, you know, you can find that. You can still find that in spite of that. I think if you ask questions and you go inside, you know, we've all got a superpower inside. When you meditate or when you use self-hypnosis to go into your unconscious mind, that's where your superpower lies. That's where your creativity lies. You know, everything you've ever experienced in your life is stored away in your unconscious mind. Every memory, everything you've ever felt, every emotion you've ever felt is in your unconscious mind. So from that place, when you understand that, you can work on yourself. You know, as I did when I discovered hypnosis and had that spiritual awakening, I started to realize that I didn't have to live my life as a victim anymore. I didn't have to go through the rest of my life blaming my parents for screwing my life up. You know, I could take control of it in that moment. And that's what I did. I chose to do that. And I've never ever felt like a victim since that time. I've always felt that, you know, I'm in control of my destiny. And anything that happens now, you know, still challenges come along in life. You know, I still have big things that I fight. I got burgled last year out of the blue randomly. And it was pretty tough, you know, because I've got two young kiddies and they didn't feel safe in the house. So that was a big challenge. But even with that, you know, you face these challenges with a higher consciousness and more wisdom. And you don't play the victim. You know, you look for solutions within yourself. And even if it feels like it wasn't your fault, there's always something in you that is maybe attracting something that is, especially if it's a repetitive pattern. You know, I started to recognize that if something's happening time and time again, even if it feels like it's not your fault, there's something in you that needs shifting. There's something unresolved in you that's creating this event. So I'd always work on things from that perspective. But going back to what you said, I think the one thing you can do in your daily life is build a meditation practice, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes a day, every single day, and just go into that part of yourself where you switch off the monkey mind, you drop down into your unconscious mind, and you start to access your creativity and your higher consciousness. And if you just did that every day for 10 minutes, your life would start to change dramatically. And it's kind of like, you know, the analogy, if you wanted to build a super fit, toned, healthy body, you go to the gym, you'd work out 3 or 4 times a week. And over time, your body starts to tone, it starts to get honed. And the mind is the same. When you do the inner work, you start to tone it and you start to, you know, step into your true power and your creativity and your higher consciousness. And when you're in that, you start to become more abundant because your manifestations are much more powerful and much more natural. There's no barrier. You know, you're not blocking these things because you're operating from your unconscious self. And so that's a really good thing to start. You know, this meditation practice every day, 10 minutes. You know, I've got a multitude of recordings out there you can use if you need help. If not, just use a simple meditation practice just to get down into that state. And it is very, very powerful.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned that you have meditation music and information that people can use, because a lot of times when you start meditating, that monkey mind can really take control. And a lot of times I've heard different practitioners say, okay, clear your mind, don't think of anything. And it's really hard to do that unless you have something kind of guiding you through.
Yeah. On my recordings, I always start with a really deep breathing technique. And when you get into that breathing, you know, cycle, you naturally start to draw more oxygen into your body, up to your brain, and you start to relax. And along with the breathing cycle, I'm giving the listener suggestions to slowly wind down, you know, to let any thoughts go. Don't fight them. If a thought comes along, just allow it to float away. And over time, you know, also use being a musician, I also use certain musical frequencies to enhance each stage of the meditation, which is kind of why my recordings have always been a little bit different and connected with people, because it's not just my voice. I'm also using frequencies and certain sounds to amplify the meditation and the effect. And if I'm going through the deepening process where I'm helping the listener to go from the you know, the beta state down to the alpha state, then I'm using a certain type of music to achieve that. And then if they're going from the outer state, alpha state, down to the delta state, then I'm using a different type of music again to do that. And so I've kind of treated it like a very scientific process, and also infused my meditations with, you know, spiritual knowledge that I've learned from other teachers and from books I've read, from ceremonies I've been involved in. So because I always wanted the recordings to be really profoundly life-changing. Whenever I make a recording now, that's the goal. It's not just to do a quick meditation. It's about creating recordings, you know, through frequency music, through my voice, through, you know, spiritual knowledge, to really deepen the process, because I know how powerful it is when people are in a very receptive state, and to guide them into that receptive state and then deliver really powerful affirmations and post-hypnotic suggestions, you know, they can be life-changing. And I have, you know, some of the feedback I get on my recordings is just, you know, it blows me away. I you know, get on all platforms, I get between 50 and 100 reviews. You know, I don't never get to read them all, but I'd be a bit self-indulgent if I did. But I do, you know, I read the people message me, and they say that, you know, my favorite feedback I get nowadays is that they had a spiritual awakening through listening to my recording 10 years ago, and it changed their life ever since. And I love that so much, because that's what happened to me 30 years ago. You know, I had that massive epiphany where I woke up spiritually, and it changed the course of my life. And over that journey, I've been able to make recordings that sometimes, if it's the right time for the person and it's the right phrase, then it has the same effect. And I'm most proud of that. Of all of the things that, you know, all the feedback I get, I'm most proud of that.
Well, I can understand why, my goodness, making that type of shift possible for another person to experience. I mean, how profound is that?
Yeah. I love it. I love it. And just that, you know, the teachers I followed back in the day, you know, Eckhart Tolle is another one that I admire. And, you know, I met him one time. I hung out with him in Malibu, because we were the same app developer, and he's a very authentic teacher. And it's just wonderful to have the opportunity. You know, I became a musician. You know, when I was 17, I learned to play the bass guitar and played in a punk band, and then later on played on the cabaret circuit, and then gave that up when I became a hypnotherapist. But then when I became a hypnotherapist, I was able to bring that musical knowledge into my recordings. So it's kind of a combination of all my life experiences and the things that I'd learned that has enabled me to make these recordings that connects with people. And and it's such a blessing. And I've loved the journey, and I continue to do it. And I think with the books I'm writing now, you know, the last book, Awaken and Ascend, it's like a, you know, written version of my meditations. Yeah, there's a process where I kind of, you know, show people that anything is possible. You know, when you had the kind of upbringing I had, and I managed to overcome a lot of the conditioning and the sabotage patterns and, yeah, the failure programs, that kind of thing, to make a success of my life. I know that that inspires people, because I'm inspired by stories like that. you know, when I've read a story of or a book of somebody who's had the most horrendous start in life and they've managed to turn it around and make something of their life, I love those kind of stories. So I know that my story resonates with people, and so I've kind of infused the book with that. That's the first part of it. And then to the second part is the practical steps. How do you actually do it? You know, how do you overcome, you know, a mountain of negative conditioning to, you know, to change that and to live a more abundant life? And, you know, a lot of the time it takes desire. You've got to have a fire in your belly. You've got to really want to do that. And for me, I got so sick of failing and struggling and, you know, not being in positive relationships and not having any money and not having any opportunities. I got fed up with that life to the point where I was so hungry to change that. So you've got to have that kind of fire and desire to want to change things, because you do need to be disciplined on this path. You know, just as if you wanted to have a fit, healthy body, you go to the gym and you work out. You've got to apply that to this transformation. You know, and I do that in my life now. You know, being fit and healthy is something that is another part of my life that I love. You know, I love becoming fitter and healthier. I'm just turned 64 and I'm still playing paddle, tennis, football, you know, super fit, playing guys a lot younger than me and loving playing at a good level. And I only am able to do that because I'm very disciplined with my diet and my exercise and my fitness routines. So I've never looked like, I never approach those things that it's a struggle. It's tough to do that. I have the desire, I build the desire up and then I do it. And I think with anything that you want to get out of, anything you want to change in your life, if you want to become rich and you want to make a lot of money, you have to build up that desire to do these things and be very disciplined and immerse yourself in it. You know, if you want to, you know, one of the things I did when I first learned all this stuff back in the day, and I was living in this tower block in South London in a really rough area, and I was driving a car that kept breaking down. But I learned all this stuff, and I learned about the law of attraction, and I learned about the trance state. And I was reading a book by a guy called Stuart Wilde back then, and he said that you've got to immerse yourself. Money is just energy, and you've got to put yourself in places where there's money floating around. And he said, go to fancy hotels and sit there and just, you know, be around people who are affluent and just drink a green tea. If you can't afford the food, just drink. So I started doing things like that. And I go to house auctions and, you know, when I couldn't afford to buy any houses, but I'd watch these houses being bought and I'd imagine I was buying them. And all the time I was meditating and visualizing this abundant, prosperous, happy life. So I kind of lived and breathed it every step of the way. And that's the key component. You have to be very diligent and be very crystal clear as well about what you want. So another thing I did, I wrote down all the goals and the things that I wanted to manifest in this world. And I always wrote them down in the present tense. So one of them was that I'd live in a £1 million house. I'd drive, you know, I was young then. I wanted material goals. That was one of the first thing I wanted to conquer. I'd live in a £1 million house. I'd drive an Aston Martin car and I'd have a villa in Florida, holiday home in Florida. And at that point, I started visualizing that. I had a picture of an Aston Martin and I'd imagine I was sitting in the car and I'd hear the roar of the engine and I'd be driving off. And I just immersed myself in that for a few years. And all the time I was living in this really, you know, rundown place in a rough area, no car, and I was struggling, but I'd imagine I was living this other life. And I immersed myself in it so much. It was within 10 years, those three things I'd manifest. I did live in the £1 million house. I did have the Aston Martin and I did have the villa in Florida within 10 years. And it was because from the inside out, every cell in my mind, body, and spirit was resonating with this abundance, this new life. And so what would happen, the universe would respond to that. And I'd find myself in very fortuitous situations in the real world. I'd meet the right person at the right time. I just got very, very lucky all the way along the road. So lucky when I look back. But it was because I was resonating at a frequency that allowed these things to happen. So you've got to change your inner state. And when you change your inner state and it vibrates at a certain frequency, it's inevitable that you're going to match it up with those things that you're, you know, seeking to manifest. And it's just, it's scientific.
It really is. And for those folks that are new to this type of work, if they're living in a place where it's like everything around them is not what they want, how do they make that shift? And I know you shared about the manifesting of the car and that, but sometimes I think people say, well, that's just make believe. So how did they get to this place where they start feeling like they're more in control of their destiny?
I think one of the most important things is you've got to, you know, if you are struggling, you have to live within your means. So, you know, a lot of the reason people struggle these days is because credit is cheap and you can go out and get a car that's you probably can't afford. And that's a big trap people fall into. And then they're on the debt cycle. So you have to break out of that. And, you know, when I started on this journey, my ego had been so humbled so many times. I had no desire for fancy things at that point. You know, it sounds contradictory because I was visualizing this abundance. But what I mean is I wasn't desiring them from an egotistical place or because I wanted to show off. You know, when I got that Aston Martin, I still felt like the kid who'd been kicked out of school in some ways. You know, I felt like I had the imposter syndrome for a long time. But I'd learned, the one thing I'd learned that first on is I had to live within my means. And I didn't earn a lot of money back then. I was earning less than $1,000 a month and was struggling to pay my bills. But I made sure that I never spent more than, I never got anything on credit because I'd been massively in debt. I had been in the credit card trap and I'd run up a huge amount of debts and I had county court judgments against me. I used to have to go to court and that kind of thing. But it taught me a powerful lesson, you know, to break out of debt because debt is just a slave trap. So you have to rein in your expenditure first and foremost. That's so important. And just spend your money on essentials. Once you do that, you've got control. You've got control of your finances. And that's an important place to start. And from there, you can then start to build more abundance by, you know, doing your affirmation work. And, you know, I would read lots of books on, you know, people who'd gone from really challenging starts with absolutely nothing that had made fortunes, become very, very wealthy. And, you know, I kind of learned there was always a pattern that the people that had done that, they'd often were big risk takers. You know, the ones that ended up becoming billionaires, they often gambled one success on the next big venture and they were super big gamblers. And, you know, I could never gamble to that degree because you can always lose it all and end up way back where you were. But, you know, the guys that become billionaires often do that. But you can still take the principle of that and take a few chances here and there. You know, so if you start a new business, you start something, you know, and in this day and age, the one thing we've got the internet and we've got AI now, where there's so many opportunities, especially with AI. I mean, AI is like having a, you know, a super PA by your side, you know, an encyclopedia of everything by your side, where you know, you can prompt it to give you creative ideas and, you know, give you inspiration. And no, I would always say, you know, it's always a bit of an easy thing to take a shortcut and to get chat to write things for you or to create things for you. But I think there's no substitute, you know, especially if you're writing a book or creating a meditation script, you've got to do that from yourself. You know, it's tempting to use AI to help you do those things. You can certainly use it for the creative inspiration, but don't take the shortcuts. Do it from yourself because your own energy is going to create the magic and AI hasn't got a soul. So it's never going to be able to do that for you. But yeah, utilize what's there and, you know, be in your power. You get fit and healthy. It doesn't cost anything to get fit and healthy because when you're fit and healthy, you're making decisions from a clearer space. You know, I love that now. I love being able to make, you know, decisions from, you know, this fit, healthy mind and body that I've got now, you know, rather than, you know, when I was younger and I used to do all kinds of had all kinds of vices and made the wrong decisions. So those two things, you know, take control of your finances, get fit and healthy, work on your affirmations every day, list, you know, 5 goals that you want to achieve in 6 months. So you want to be earning a certain amount of money. You want to have a certain career. You want to attract the love of your life. You know, write them down and write them in the present tense. So if one of your goals is that you want to manifest $1 million. So you write, I have $1 million in my bank account now. That's your affirmation. And yeah, you have these affirmations, you say them every single day over and over again, and you're programming your inner mind to achieve these goals. And like I said earlier, what that does, then the external world responds to that energetic output that you're putting out into the world, and it starts matching you up to situations where you're going to move towards your goals. And I can tell you, 1,000%, this works. It's incredibly powerful.
Is gratitude a big part of the manifesting process? Is that something that we need to be aware of?
That's a really good point, Marianne, because I always start with gratitude. Yeah, the first part of any abundance work should be on that, you know, gratitude for what you've got, gratitude for being able to breathe pure, fresh air, you know, having your health and your well-being, having your family, your kids, people around you, you love. Always start from a place, because that opens your heart up, and it's a great place to start the manifestation work. So yeah, thank you for reminding me that.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us, because it seems like it's so easy to not be grateful. I mean, we're given so much to be grateful for within our day. I mean, even if it's like, hey, I've got a roof over my head and I've got 3 square meals or whatever the deal is, being able to have that is something that we should really be grateful for.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that was one of the things when I had my spiritual awakening and I started to turn my life around, even though my circumstances were still pretty bleak, I started to have much more gratitude. I really learned the power of that. And it came from an authentic place. I did really genuinely feel gratitude for just being awake and alive at that point. And, you know, every little good thing that happened to me, I was thankful for it. And that becomes a mindset. It becomes automatic. After a while, it starts to be who you are. You are grateful for life, the simple things in life. And I would sometimes, you know, I remember watching a documentary on, who was the guy? That guy, Superman. He was Superman, Christopher Reeve. I remember watching a documentary with a friend of mine, and, you know, he was a guy that was a very successful actor, and through no fault of his own, he had a horse riding accident, and he ended up, you know, completely physically compromised in a wheelchair, and you ended up having quite a sad end of life. But I remember watching a documentary on him, and he was, in spite of what had happened to him, he had this sense of gratitude about him. And it came from a really authentic place. And he was so inspiring, because he had this really tough thing that had happened to him in life. But in spite of that, he still was able to count his blessings. And because he'd been in, you know, because his life was so compromised, it was a very powerful message. And I remember watching this film thinking, wow, if he can feel that, if he can experience that, then, you know, what have I got to moan about? And so things like that, you know, I'd watch documentaries like that that really helped me to, you know, be humble, try and be humble and grateful and, you know, live an authentic life. So, yeah, there's a wealth of, you know, materials for us in this day and age with, you know, you just go on YouTube. And it's really good as well to be aware that where your attention goes, energy flows. So if you're watching documentaries that, you know, bring you a lot of gratitude and you're, you know, meditating on high vibrational things, you're going to build a really powerful energy around all those things that's going to just supercharge your new path in life. And And it's that, again, that's discipline, because there's so many distractions in the world now. You know, we've got, you know, the internet social media can easily distract us. So you need to be very disciplined and in your power, and, you know, clear about the path you're on, clear about your soul's purpose, you know, the direction you want to go in. You didn't come into this life to spend hours scrolling through social media or, you know, watching mind-numbing TV. You came into this life to live a full, happy, abundant life and to have a ripple effect in the world, to, you know, to teach your kids well, to do good work here, you know. And so that comes with discipline, self-discipline. So that's another thing that I infused Awaken and Ascend with, this sense of, you know, being disciplined in yourself to, you know, live your life right and to put your attention in the right places and to learn as much as you can, and to be very open-hearted and compassionate and loving as well. That's another important part of abundance.
So how do we then balance putting our intention on things that are positive versus also being present in the world where there are earthquakes and, you know, world events happening and animals being hurt or whatever the case is? How do we balance that?
I think, well, you know, because of, we're in this 24-hour information age, you know, when we're in a time in the world now where if there is an earthquake on the other side of the world, you know, we see the horror of it. It's all over social media. It's all over the news. And we're tuned into that. And we feel, you know, it triggers our emotions. But really, we're only, you know, it's in a tiny part of our evolution that we're experiencing this. Because that, you know, we were only exposed to things on a local level before this age. So we're not really supposed to see all that. So I think, you know, when you do see it, when you do come across it, you have compassion for what's going on, but you've got to also, you know, not allow yourself to be triggered by it and too upset by it, because, you know, what's ever happening in that part of the world, you know, there's a lot of people believe those souls have incarnated and to experience whatever they're experiencing at that time. So you can have, you know, and you can help, you know, and there are ways you can help. You can donate, you can give of yourself in some way. If there's something that particularly does move you and you want to help out, you can be charitable in one way or another, you know, whether it's finances or whatever, or you can, you know, you can get a little meditation group, and you can project love and healing to that part of the world. Yeah, that's something that's really powerful, because group meditations build an energy that is much more powerful than when you do it on your own. And they've even scientifically proven that. There was a science experiment in the UK a number of years ago where this group got together in a place called Brighton in England, where they would meditate on projecting a feeling of love, peace, and harmony to the center of a town, center of Brighton, where there'd been a lot of crime and a lot of trouble and violence. And they found that when this group were doing it, the crime rate dropped like by about 30% at that time. And it was an amazing experiment. And whenever that experiment has been replicated around the world, the same thing happens. So yeah, you can never underestimate the power of your mind and your projections. So I think, you know, when somebody's suffering or you see suffering on the other side of the world, you can, you know, when I always see that now, I would project a feeling of peace, love, and well-being to, you know, those people who are suffering, and knowing that that energy is, you know, having an impact, because there's a lot of other people around the world that will be doing the same thing at that time. And that way you kind of are compassionate and loving, but you're not, you know, you're not in the fear of it. You're not feeling the fear and the horror of it. You know, you're operating from a higher vibrational place where you're much more effective. So yeah, that's an approach to take with anything like that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you sharing that with us. It has me kind of thinking too, for those folks who are new to meditation, and also for individuals who are have been meditating for years, do you have a meditation you could recommend for each of them?
Yeah, one of the I've now created over 250 meditations. And they're all in my apps. I've got an app called Ultimate Hypnosis and another one called Relax and Sleep Well. They're all in there. And some of the, you know, when I first started making hypnosis and meditation tracks, they were kind of the most practical solutions for the biggest problems, like deep sleep, complete relaxation, lose weight now, build your self-esteem. But as I, you know, as my knowledge has developed and, you know, I've experienced a lot more, I've gained a lot more spiritual knowledge over time. My newer recordings are kind of more suited to people who've been meditating for a long time. I've got one that's completely free on YouTube called Awaken and Ascend. So it's the same title as my book. And this recording is really about connecting with your highest spiritual power. It's a really high vibrational recording, and it's got, you know, you read the reviews on YouTube. It's a free recording I've put on there. It's kind of a 20, 25 minute recording. The full version is in my app. So the 45 minute version is in my app. But if you wanted to experience something really high vibrational, that's a good one. I also, a number of years ago, created a range of solfeggio meditations based on the ancient solfeggio tones. And these were frequencies that Gregorian monks used to chant to invoke certain states. So, for example, the first solfeggio frequency is the 396 hertz frequency. And that's very much based around the root chakra. And it's when the monks would chant this frequency, they would be able to invoke certain states and release feelings of guilt, fear, shame, and regret, which are all very rooted in, you know, your lower chakras. So this frequency holds that power to help to release those things. So I got together with a gentleman called Ali Calderwood, who's one of the best musicians I've ever come across for spiritual music. He's not very well known, but his music is so refined and so beautiful. I did a number of ayahuasca journeys with him as well around that time, which were amazing. But he created the music at the exact frequency. And then between us, we'd script a meditation based around the elements of that 396 hertz frequency that enable people to release feelings of shame, guilt, and regret. And those recordings are, you know, even if I say so myself, they're super powerful. Because you've got this amazing music, you've got the frequency, and you've got my meditation over the top. And the combination of those three things just gave them something extra. And we've had such amazing feedback. And there was a guy that helped to rediscover the frequencies, the solfeggio frequencies, a guy called Dr. Len Horowitz. He messaged me and he said, I've listened to your recordings and they are absolutely spot on the frequencies. He said, whereas a lot of people are making them, but they're not exact, they're not right. And to the point where he actually used to buy our solfeggio frequencies and solfeggio meditation, sorry, and he'd sell them to his network because he, you know, so we had the ultimate feedback from him. So yeah, the Awaken and Ascend is a really powerful title that's free on YouTube. And I've also got one of the solfeggio tracks on YouTube as well. So if you type my name in, Glenn Harold, and those two titles, you'll find them there. Yeah, so that's a good way to sort of kind of start with my work, the free stuff on YouTube.
Well, Glenn, where can our listeners go to connect with you about your book, Awaken and Ascend?
So Awaken and Ascend is on Amazon and all other online book retailers. So you can download it from amazon.com. And also glennharold.com is my main website. And if you want to go deeper with my recordings. My main app is Ultimate Hypnosis, which has got a community in there. And it's got 250 of my hypnosis and meditation tracks. I do live webinars from within Ultimate Hypnosis. And yeah, we've got this amazing community in there. And they even, a number of the members came out here to Portugal and visited me last year, which was a lovely, lovely event. And so yes, an amazing community in there, really supportive and nurturing community that's grown very organically within the app. So I'm very blessed.
Well, Glenn, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show with us here today.
You're welcome, Marion. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you, Glenn. It's been such an honor to spend this time with you and to talk about not only your meditations, but your new book, Awaken and Ascend. Raise your consciousness and reclaim your personal power. Awaken and Ascend is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all indie retailers. And remember, support our indie bookstores. Make sure to visit Glenn Harold's websites at glennharold.com and hypnosisaudio.com and browse your next favorite meditation audio. Glenn's apps are also available on his website. There you can get GH Ultimate and Relax and Sleep Well. Awaken and Ascend is also featured in the Moments with Marianne Book Club. Make sure to visit mariannepastana.com and there you can scroll our book club and our upcoming guests. Well, we're at the end of our time today. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in. You're listening to Moments with Marianne, where we make every moment count.
In a single moment, your life can change. Moments with Marianne is a transformative hour that covers an endless array of topics with the best of the best. Her guests are leaders in their fields, ranging from inspirational authors, top industry leaders, and business and spiritual entrepreneurs. Each guest is gifted and a true visionary, a recognized leader in her own work, and while teaching others to develop, refocus, and grow, Marianne will bring the best guest and sometimes a special surprise. Don't miss this. You never know just which moment will change your life forever. Make sure to tune in and visit MomentsWithMarianne.com for more information.